bid you welcome to our evening gospel service, and we trust and pray that the Lord will bless our coming together under the sound of his word. We're going to open our service by turning to the hymn number 7, "To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son." We'll stand together while we make this our opening praise, and let's sing our very best in this opening hymn. Again, great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. Remaining seated, we'll sing the third verse and the chorus, please.
Praise.
Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Let's all seek the Lord's face in prayer. Let us pray. Our loving and eternal Father in heaven, the all-worthy and precious and all-prevailing name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly bow in thy presence this evening hour. We thank thee that thou hast directed our steps again to the house of God. And we pray that thou wilt enable us never to take it as a mere formality of coming to the house of God. But oh, that thou wouldst grant to us the desire of the psalmist when he said, I joy unto the house of God. Go up, they said to me. We pray that thou wilt grant to us tonight an expectation in our hearts, because we desire to meet with the living God. We desire to have that experience of Christ in the midst. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast promised that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, there thou wouldst be in the midst. So we look forward tonight to that time when we'll spend in the presence of the risen Saviour. And we pray, our Father in heaven, this will be a time of rejoicing, a time when we will give our adoration and worship to thee. For in the words of our opening prayers, we can say, great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done. To God be the glory, and all the glory and all the praise is to the one who is our Redeemer. And so, our loving Father, this evening, as we gather in the house of God, we thank thee that as Hagar once said, thou God seest me. Thou dost see each one of us as we come to thy house on this the evening of thy day. You know the burdens that we carry. You know the challenges and the opportunities and the difficulties and all the things that are about us. And we rejoice that as we come into thy presence, there is not one of us that is not seen by the all-seeing eye of God. And our loving Father, you know where we stand before thee. Lord, you know those that are out of Christ without a Saviour. You know those who are drawn cold at heart. And you know thy people who need that word of encouragement from thyself. And so, our loving Father, this evening, we desire that as we gather here, that thou wouldst come and through the ministry of thy word, oh, that thou wouldst speak to every heart. We thank thee for thy word in the morning season. We thank thee for the blessed man. We thank thee for the challenge of the word of God, even as we gathered this morning. And we desire that we might be that blessed person, day by day, living under the shadow of our hearts and our minds being saturated by the word of God. And Lord, dwelling beside those waters of living water, those green pastures, abiding in thy presence, knowing the fullness of thy grace being extended towards us. So, our loving Father, we pray that as again thy servant would come to minister thy word to us. Oh, we pray that thou will endue him with the power of the Spirit of God. And oh, that this will be a night when, Lord, men and women will see beyond the preacher. But this will be a night when they will see the Saviour. It'll be a night when our gaze will be again directed towards the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, you know the burden of our hearts for those of our family and those of our friends who are out of Christ, going heedless and careless to a lost eternity. We pray, Lord, that soon we'll have our families united in Christ. Soon we'll have the joy of knowing that all our family are safely gathered in. And we pray, our loving Father, that thou wilt soon come and visit this house in salvation blessing. Come and visit us again in the outpouring of the Spirit of God and through the preaching of thy word. We do remember thy servant, Reverend Park, and those in Romania. We pray that thou wilt bless them as they would do this work unto thee. We pray that thou wilt bless the labours of their hand. May this be a time when they'll rejoice in thy goodness to them. We thank thee for journeying mercies. We thank thee for help already given. And we pray that they'll be very conscious in the week that lies before of thy nearness. And as they work amongst the boys and girls, we pray that thou will bring boys and girls savingly to Christ. And so, Father in heaven, continue with us now. Remember each faithful witness of the cross who heralds the blood in the book tonight. We pray that soon over the hills and the valleys of Ulster, the sound of an abundance of rain. Lord, we've seen the physical showers today. But oh, we long for the windows of heaven to be opened in a spiritual sense. And send of thy blessing upon us, we pray. Defeat every plan and purpose of the devil. And bring honour and glory to thy dear Son. Continue with us, we pray, for we ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. We'll be singing together a lovely hymn, Man of Sorrows, What a Name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. Standing while we sing, please. Again, when he comes, our glorious King. And praise God, he's coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Remember the proclamation, the question that was asked at his birth, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Oh, praise God, he's coming again in power and in glory. All his ransomed home to bring. Think of this glorious truth of the coming again of our glorious King. We'll get the note and we'll sing it unaccompanied. Welcome in the Saviour's name to our evening gospel service. We trust and pray that we'll know the Lord's blessing. And isn't it good that we're able to sing Hallelujah, what a Saviour. We're here to exalt him, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. So we bid you welcome in the Saviour's name. We also welcome those who are joining with us on sermon audio or in any other means, whether by Facebook or YouTube. We trust that as you have come to worship with us here in Hebron, that the Lord will speak to your heart. Wherever it is you may be this evening. We're again delighted to have with us our brother Trevor Wiley, the elder in our congregation in Coleraine, a dearly beloved brother. And as you know, Trevor's father was a minister in this congregation in the Cabra days. And he ministered from 1952 to 1964. And then he must have thought that 64 was a very special year, because that was the year I was born. And then he decided to go to Coleraine. And so he thought that was probably too big a challenge to stay on and to minister in Cabra if I was going to appear. But the Lord blessed the ministry of the Reverend Wiley, and what a saint of God. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. And surely he was a child of God that was dearly beloved by this congregation, and the Lord used him in a mighty way. And many of our congregations in this part of the world owe their existence to the ministry and the labours of the Reverend John Wiley. And so we're delighted that Trevor is with us. We enjoyed his ministry this morning, and we look forward to what the Lord has laid upon his heart even for this evening's service. Do remember, the services end during the week. Thursday evening, our midweek service, the deputation, and Miss Christina Logan, children's evangelist, will be along to minister and to speak at that service. Next Lord's Day commences with early morning time of prayer at 8 a.m. The Lord's Day service at 12 noon and 7 p.m. When the guest preacher on that occasion will be the Reverend John Gray, minister of our congregation in Tandragee. And do remember the time of prayer at 6:30 preceding the evening service. Word of thanks and appreciation for your tithes and offerings to God's work. Today is the Home Mission Outreach. Next Lord's Day is Let the Bible Speak envelopes and the Missionary Covenant support. As our brother Phil reminded us this morning, the next Lord's Table will be held on the Lord's Day, the 10th of July. And so do remember, as we meet around the Lord's Table, that occasion will be the 10th of July. The work amongst the young people continues, and aren't we encouraged and blessed that we have a congregation here that has a desire to reach the young people with the gospel. And so our youth challenge, under the leadership of our brother Andrew, will be from Monday the 15th through to Friday the 19th of August. There's the football camp between 2:30 and 5, and then the time here at the church between 7 and 8. There'll be a special parents' night on the Lord's Day, the 21st of August. And there we have some of the details in relation to the soccer camp. And we trust and pray that this effort will be owned and blessed of the Lord. These things are not done merely as a means of entertainment, but they're done with a purpose. They're done with a desire to reach, yes, to have a time of fun, to have a time of fellowship together, but its purpose is that we might reach our young for the Saviour, and how we need that to happen in our day and generation. And then the guest speakers at the Youth Challenge will be our sister Christina Logan and also our brother Noel Sheens. Do continue to remember the outreach team in Romania. Trust and pray that the Lord will bless them, and that as they set into this week of the vocational Bible schools, that the Lord will be amongst them and that he'll undertake for them. Pray for those that have gone, that the Lord will give our young people a desire for further service for him, and as they labour in Romania, that the Lord will use this as a means of encouragement to them and a means of challenge. And of course, we continue to remember those in our own congregation who have those particular needs, those who are laid aside, those who need that touch from the Lord. And let's not forget to remember them at the throne of grace in prayer. These are all the announcements. We're going to sing another lovely hymn, "In Loving Kindness Jesus Came." Do you ever think of that? In loving kindness Jesus came. And what was the purpose of his coming? "My soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me." It's a lovely hymn, so let's sing it with all our heart. And that noise that you're hearing is not me. It is, I think, that speaker. I hope that's what it is. Anyway, definitely not me. I enjoyed my lunch, but not that much. So, "In loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim."
Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim.
we have said, we're delighted to have our brother, Mr. Trevor Wiley, with us tonight, and we're going to ask our brother to come and to minister God's word to us.
Well, could I say it's lovely to be here tonight again in Ballymoney. As Mr. Park said, whenever he was asking me to come, he said, "You're just coming home." And I must confess that I do feel that. And I thank Mervyn for his warm words of welcome. I'll tell you how I got the text. I hope Mr. Park doesn't listen, but everybody listens now everywhere. But I got a message on my WhatsApp just shortly after I came back from Indonesia. And all it said on it was, "Would you preach for me on whatever date this is?" And I looked at it and I thought he likely means the Reverend Trevor Baxter, you know. So I didn't reply. In fact, I phoned him up that afternoon. I said, "Mr. Park, I've got a message here that you say you want me to preach for you in the Hebron." I says, "Why not?" So anyway, I'm here now, and it's lovely to be with you this evening. Many, many happy memories. As I said this morning, it goes back. I was 7 when I came to the Portrush Road. It was on my birthday whenever we arrived in the manse in the Portrush Road, and went to the model school, and then went to the, was intermediate then, up the Dunloy Road, and it was here in the old Cabaret Church that I was taught the truths of the gospel, and that's quite a few years ago. And you know this, I say it before the Lord, those hymns that we've been singing tonight, I picked them because Mr. Park asked me. But they're as precious and as wonderful to me tonight as they were, or as they were whenever I was a boy sitting in the old Cabaret Church in the wooden pews and the radiators up the side. And I could go on, but no, I thank God for every blessing He's given to me. I wonder tonight, as you gather here, did you enjoy singing those hymns? Do you know anything about the Savior? You come here perhaps every Lord's Day evening, and still you don't know the Savior. What a sad, sad story that is. We trust tonight that as we present the gospel in simplicity, that you'll hear the call of God. The Spirit of God would work in your heart. And just as we read God's word now and then we pray, I wonder, will you ask the Lord, just simply, "Lord, speak to me. Speak to me, Lord." Well, I believe the Lord can answer that prayer. We're going to read from God's word this evening. We're turning to the book of Romans, and I think you'll notice that the hymns maybe tied in a little with what we have to say this evening. Romans chapter 5 and the first 11 verses. Romans chapter 5, starting or reading at the verse 1. What a wonderful chapter this is. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his precious word. Just let us bow together in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of meeting together in thy house this Lord's Day evening. What a joy, what a blessing, what a privilege, opportunity we have of just coming into the house of God. We thank you for the lovely gospel hymns which we have been singing. Oh, how it thrills our hearts tonight. We pray now as we turn to thy precious truth that you would open up thy word to us. Open up our hearts to thy word, we pray. Help us to see the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Oh, God forbid that I should even, as it were, be seen. But oh, that we might have that help from the Spirit of God to uplift the Savior. Brood over our gathering, we pray. Oh, may the Spirit of God descend. May there be a solemnity tonight. May there be a seriousness tonight as we face the great realities of our sin, God's holiness, and the wonderful sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made for us. Help me, Lord, I pray. I so desperately need you, Lord. So fill me with thy Spirit, I humbly ask, in the Savior's name. Amen. Romans chapter 5 and the verse 8 is a very familiar verse to many, many believers. It's a verse that is often used whenever we're talking to the unconverted, even whenever we're seeking to lead them to the Savior. It's one of the verses that's used, as we call it, in the Roman road, and it's a very wonderful, wonderful verse, and I feel so incapable of even bringing a message this evening. It's so wonderful, it's so deep, but yet I believe the Lord has laid it upon my heart just to share a few simple thoughts with you this evening. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verses 6 and 7, we could read them. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. The little word peradventure simply means perhaps, Perhaps some would even dare to die, perhaps for a good man. It's not likely. And yet we have the Lord Jesus Christ himself dying for us who were rebels against him. If you turn to 1 John chapter 4 and the verse 9 and 10. Little epistle of John in chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God, or revealed or shown the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's a wonderful gospel text. The little word, or the big word, I should say, propitiation, I hope I pronounce it right. It really means the turning away of God's wrath against sinners by a sacrifice. The turning away of God's wrath against sinners by a sacrifice. Dear one, tonight, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot, you will not be in heaven unless you come God's way, and that is through his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to look at this little verse here in verse 8. Three simple little thoughts. First of all, the sinner is mentioned, while we were yet without sin, while we were yet sinners. And then secondly, God's love. God commendeth his love, or God showed his love. And then thirdly, Christ's death. Christ died for us. First of all, is mentioned the sinner, while we were yet sinners. You know, the first step, or perhaps one of the first steps on the road to heaven, is for each one of us to recognize, to realize our true spiritual condition before God. Sinners before God. It's not what the church thinks. It's not what the preacher thinks. It's not what the session of the church or the rulers of the church. Not what your family thinks. Not what your neighbor thinks. It's what God thinks tonight. And the Word of God doesn't paint a pretty picture of each one of us in our natural condition. What does God think of us in our sin as we're born in trespasses and in sin? So here is how God sees us, sees me in my natural condition. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, we read these words, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And so as God looked down upon this earth, way back in the beginning of time, after man had fallen in the Garden of Eden and sinned, my things got worse and worse and worse. And in chapter 6 of Genesis, we read that God saw. You see, God sees tonight. God saw then, some 6,000 years ago, and God still sees tonight. And God sees each one of us in this meeting. That's a sobering thought. That's a serious thought. It says, "And God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great on the earth." If you turn to Isaiah 53 in the verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Have gone astray. You know what sheep do? They're easy led. And then it says in the Psalm 51, the psalmist David says in the verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Also turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1, a very wonderful verse. Isaiah chapter 1 gives us a little insight into our condition when we were born, our natural condition. Takes away any pride within us. It says in Isaiah chapter 6, chapter 1, verse 6, from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And that is our condition as God sees it. Perhaps you're here tonight and you know not the Lord, you know not sins forgiven. That's how God sees us tonight. Just a sore mess. An awful condition to be in. I want you to turn to Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 2. We also see there what the Apostle Paul was teaching the church at Ephesus. And we read there in the chapter 2 and the verse 1, 2 and 3. Paul says to the believers, and he says, you hath he quickened who were dead. In other words, brought to life who were dead in trespasses and sins. He was reminding of them of their former condition. And then it says in the verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom all we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What a picture Paul was showing the Ephesians before their conversion. They were dead. They walked according to the course of the world. They were disobedient. Their conversation was in the things of the world, things of the flesh. And then we read there in Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse 18, they were in spiritual darkness, spiritual ignorance, and spiritual blindness. What a condition our hearts are in before we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. I don't think we have to look too far in society, even in our own society in Northern Ireland, which is, I suppose, looked upon as a Christian country, a religious country, and yet we cannot turn the news on, but maybe the first two or three items, we see the wickedness, the sinfulness of man, right from children right up to adults. We hear of some of the most horrendous crimes, even within our own little country of 8 million people. In Northern Ireland, the Word of God teaches us that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so our condition before God as sinners tonight is not a pretty picture. And I think we need to realize that. Perhaps you're here tonight, and I don't want to be harsh. I want to be loving, but we need to realize our condition before God. And then secondly, God's love. God commendeth his love toward us. We could say this in another way. God declareth his love for us. Our God showeth his love for us. by giving us a certain sign. Think of God's ancient people, Israel, way down there in Egypt. Turn over to Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy and the chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. We have these wonderful words. We're going to read them together. We're thinking, secondly, about God commending his love toward us. And you're here tonight and you know not the Lord as your Savior. I would like you to take note this evening of this. God showing his love toward you as an individual. Yes, he loves the world. But I believe that he, individuals in our meeting tonight, God's love is shown to you even through these verses. It says there in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, "And the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the least of all people." Here God is talking about the children of Israel back in the Old Testament. "But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." You remember the story well. Israelites were in Egypt. They were under Pharaoh's cruel hand, and how difficult it was for them. But God said to Moses, "Moses, I'm going to bring them out. I'm going to deliver them. I'm going to bring them out of slavery." Egypt is a type of the world. And I suppose we could look on Pharaoh as a type of Satan. But God promised, he says, "I'll bring you out. I'll bring you out." And he told Moses what to do. "Tell the Israelites to take a lamb for an house," and so on. We needn't go into all the detail, but they had to take that lamb and they had to slay the lamb. And they had to collect the blood in a basin and then go out and take a little bit of hyssop and put it into the basin of blood and put it upon the lintel and the doorposts of their homes. And then they would go inside and they would be protected by the blood. And you know, that's the same tonight as it was then. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from sin. And if we miss the blood tonight, we miss the cross tonight, we miss heaven and we'll be lost. And so, what a wonderful picture that we have there. And we turn back to, or over to, Ephesians chapter 2 again. We read the first three verses. We're talking here about God showing his love toward us, toward you and me. And if you're unconverted tonight, you listen. These words, it says there in the verse 4, "But God," we talked about the little buts this morning in the Bible, and here we have it again in Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." The love of God is something I can't really get to the depth of. Whenever I read his word and think of the sinfulness of the human heart, the depravity of the human heart, and yet it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, he has loved us." We have seen in these verses the sinner, while we were yet sinners, God's love, God commendeth his love toward us. And then we want to look lastly at Christ's death, the death of the Savior. It says Christ died for us. I want you to put yourself in that position this evening. God commends his love by sending his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the opening verses of this chapter again. We read them, we read it again. In verses 6 and 7, "For when ye were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." You put your name in there. Christ died for me. I'm in my sin tonight. Jesus Christ has died for me upon the cross. It says in the verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die." We weren't good, and our sin were not good. We're on our way to a lost eternity. But yet, Christ died for us. I wonder this evening, how do you respond within your heart as you sit in this meeting house this evening? When you think about the Savior, when you think about the cross, when you think about the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made for us, it says in the verse 6, "Without strength, in due time Christ died." No strength, helpless, hopeless, or a hopeless state. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ died for you, and he longs to save you tonight. I love the story in John's Gospel. We'll just turn to it for a few moments. John's Gospel, chapter 5, a very familiar story, but it gives a great picture of our condition in our unconverted state. It talks about the impotent man. The Lord Jesus Christ, with the crowd, went up to Jerusalem. Sick man lying there, 38 years. He was sick, couldn't help himself. He was just lying inside the gate, a pool called Bethesda. And the Lord Jesus Christ makes his way up to Jerusalem with the crowd. But the Lord Jesus Christ knew this poor man. He was lying there, helpless, hopeless, could do nothing for himself. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ moves over. I can almost picture it. There was a lot of people about. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ moves over beside him. And he says to this poor man, 38 years lying, couldn't help himself, a helpless, a hopeless condition. And the Lord Jesus Christ looks at him. My, what a look of love and tenderness. Wilt thou be made whole? Maybe he's saying to you tonight. Maybe he's saying to you tonight, will you come to me? You're helpless, you're hopeless. But I can help you tonight. I can bring you out of the state of hopelessness. And I can save you by my grace, make you a new creature in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said to, wilt thou be made whole? And the poor man said, I have no one to help me. No one to help me. And the poor man had faith in Jesus, and he said, be you whole. And tonight I trust that you'll look away to the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, the wonder of Christ's death, and I must finish shortly. The wonder of Christ's death is that he died for sinners, died for you and me, made a way back to God for you and me tonight. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Just one last thought, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was a substitutionary death. He died in my place. He died in your place. A little children's hymn says, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. That's amazing grace tonight, isn't it? Why the Lord Jesus Christ should ever die for me. I don't understand it. I can't take it in. The Apostle Paul writes these words in 2 Corinthians 5 and the verse 21. Some of the most amazing verses in the Word of God. I just quote them to you because I find it hard to get to the very depths of it. Paul says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, God takes our sin and he places them upon his sinless Son. He counts him as a sinner, dying in the sinner's place. And then he takes his Son's perfect righteousness and he places it upon the sinner. Oh, what an amazing, amazing grace it is. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died in our room and in our stead. I said it was a substitutionary death. You take Abraham and Isaac as they were on Mount Moriah. We'll not go through the whole story. We'll just go to the altar. And there Isaac is placed upon the altar by his dad. And there he's lying. And the father, Abraham, lifts his spear and he's about to place it in to the heart of his dear son. And God says, stay your hand. Turn round. And Abraham turned round and there was a lamb caught in a bush. Isaac went free. Isaac was there to die, but the lamb was there in Isaac's place. And I can imagine Isaac getting up and looking over and seeing the lamb, being so thankful for the lamb. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. One other verse I want to quote with you before I finish. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 and the verse 33. We read these words, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. I want to close with the cross this evening. The Lamb of God taking away the sins of his people. How do you feel tonight in our meeting? Oh yes, you've sat through perhaps hundreds of gospel meetings. But yet tonight sees you still on the road to hell. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. There's nothing worse than sitting through gospel meeting after gospel meeting, going to a Bible-believing church and end up in a lost eternity. Are you sure of heaven tonight? I close with a story, a true story. I was a sales rep for some 35 years in this North Antrim area. And I remember the month of January, way out on the other side of Ballycastle. I was getting a sheep farmer stuff to feed his sheep for the winter time. We went through procedures and so on, and I asked the farmer, I says, have you got your ewes scanned yet? They were all in the houses, about 700 or 800 sheep. He said, I have, Trevor. And I said, well, what was the result? And I'll never forget it. He said to me, "Trevor, I wish I was as sure of heaven as I was of a good crop of lambs." And I thought it was an opportunity. And I sent a little telegram to heaven, and I asked him to repeat what he said. I said, "What was it you said to me?" He said, "I wish I was as sure of heaven as I am of a good crop of lambs." And I said, referring to his name, I said, "You can be more sure of heaven than you can of a good crop of lambs." And he said to me, "What do you mean, Trevor?" Well, I said, "Perhaps disease, sickness could come into your flock. I hope it doesn't. But I said it could reduce your percentage of lambs. But I said the Lord Jesus Christ in his word, he refers to himself as the good shepherd. He said, 'I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep.' And then he says, 'I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.' I invite you tonight, in closing, to come to the good shepherd who giveth his life for you."
Amen. Thank you, Brother Trevor, for bringing to us the word of God, our closing hymn. "As I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee, for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary." The chorus says, "I am coming, Lord, coming now, not tomorrow, not later on this week, now." You know why it needs to be now? Because behold, now is the day of salvation. We're not guaranteed the next breath. Therefore, let's think upon these words as we sing our closing hymn, and we'll ask our brother Jonathan, if he'll come, Jonathan McCauley, will come and close our service in prayer. "I hear thy welcome voice."
Thank you. gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of hearing thy word tonight once again. We thank you for help given to our brother Trevor. We thank you, Lord, for the faithful proclamation of the gospel. No, Lord, we thank you for that amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And we thank you, Lord, for that love that was commended to us. Lord, we thank you for the grace that reached down and saved us. And Lord, we pray for those in the meeting tonight that still haven't found Christ as their Savior. We pray, Lord, that even the word that was faithfully proclaimed tonight will sink deep into the hearts of souls here gathered in this meeting. We pray, Lord, that the still small voice of God will speak on in hearts tonight. Lord, that the Spirit of God will work on, and even we will have cause to rejoice in this congregation tonight of some sinner coming and putting their faith and trust in thee. Go with us, Lord, as we go our separate ways, and continue to abide with us. Do us good, and we'll be careful to give thee all the praise, the honour, and the glory, for it's in thy name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you for worshipping with us tonight at Hebron. If you're here tonight and you're concerned, don't leave without the Saviour. Speak to your brother Trevor at the door, or just remain behind. But come tonight. Trust the Saviour. Good night, and God bless.